Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Coaching Call podcast. On this podcast, we'll cover various types of coaching by trainers in sports, martial arts, fitness, and business. We'll discuss each coach's methods to getting the most out of their respective athletes or clients and how they attempt to change the platform in which they coach. Join us on a fun adventure as we discuss unique coaching styles. Coaching is a universal part of how we get others to get something done. Join your host, Rafael, and his guests on this unique journey in coaching.
Hi, I'm Sifu Rafael, and this is the Coaching Call podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. This episode was made possible by listeners like you. Lexi, thank you so much for joining me on Coaching Call. How are you this morning?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, exceptional. Every day I try to get better and better. But one of the things that helps me get better is speaking with someone like you.
Awesome. That's a good lead-in for sure.
Absolutely. So, Lexi, you also have a podcast. You are a person who believes in the holistic health. You're a wellness educator. You're doing so much to help so many people. And I'm very excited to talk to you about all that you're doing. So before we get there, I want to know about little Lexi. When you were, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, what were you doing? Where'd you grow up? Who would you say at a young age was some of your biggest influencers?
So I grew up in Canada. I still live in Winnipeg. Nice. That's where I was born and raised. And if you don't know, it's in the center of Canada and it is extremely cold in the winter and actually quite warm in the summer. So we have 4 full seasons, but we like to think that if you're born and raised in Manitoba and in Winnipeg, you're built tough because we have to withstand like minus 40 degrees Celsius. Ouch. Yeah. Which I think is close to minus 40 Fahrenheit really when you get that cold. So, I was born and raised here. And as a young kid, I had a lot of energy. And so my parents put me in gymnastics. They put me in, you know, swimming lessons. I played soccer. I played all different types of sports. Nice. I was extremely outgoing. And I was also the oldest child in my family and the oldest cousin. So I kind of grew up kind of taking the lead at a really young age. And I think that kind of just continued all through my childhood. And in terms of people that I looked up to, I think really just my parents, obviously, but also like my aunts, my uncles, my teachers. I really looked up to my teachers. I really enjoyed school. And then my coaches as well.
I love the fact that you have so many people who influenced you. And when you finished, you said my coaches as well, because a lot of people don't give credit to coaches because a lot of times they're thinking, oh, yeah, they were just my soccer coach or they were my baseball coach or gymnastics coach or dance coach. But we spend so much time with coaches that they're influencing whether it's our body mechanics or our mind. Right.
Mm-hmm. And also just our confidence, I think, especially for young women and young women in sport. And I mean, I'm sure we'll get there. But as I grew up and got into that awkward preteen age, right, and my body's changing and I'm awkward and the hormones and, you know, being in sport and having these amazing coaches, both male and female, who really held space for me during that time, I think was a huge part of why I'm a coach today as well.
Yeah, definitely. Who would you say, and you said you had so many great teachers, is there one that stands out for you?
I was thinking about this question so hard this morning because I knew that you were going to ask me this. I really don't think I've ever been the kind of person who's had one really strong mentor or one really strong idol that I've looked up to. I think I've always kind of sampled from different people and learned from different people over the years. And I think I've looked at my coaches and my school teachers, or even, you know, as I developed my business, like taking courses or continuing education, I looked at all of these people as really great teachers and guides, more so than mentors. So there's not really one that stood out the most, but I do know, like, through junior high and high school, as I was kind of developing and really realizing like what coaching is, I played a lot of basketball, and there were definitely some coaches who, I think later on, I came back and coached the same teams that I played for because of those coaches and my experience. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
you played for, you know, I recall there was a couple of coaches I had. One was in junior high, not a coach, but a teacher, and it was Mr. Kelly, and he was my English teacher. And being that I don't really speak English, even now, I feel like he really made an impression on me because he always dressed well. His lessons were always exciting, you know? And for me, as a foreign speaker, it really resonated where, like, I want to be like him. I want to dress well and I want to speak well. But it all comes down to, I guess, in life, you know, one of the things that everybody says is your inner circle, right? So who are the five people? If you had to take a rocket, the earth is done. We have to leave. You can't take your parents. You can't take a loved one. You can only take five people who you know. Who do you have in mind?
Oh my gosh,
that's one too. But
yeah, that's if such you a have, hard.
Let's go to Mars, right? Musk is trying to get us to go to Mars so we can have a new, I guess, society. But if we had to take five people, only five. Couldn't be a loved one. That's tough.
That is so tough. And I think, honestly,
you don't have to mention names.
Yeah,
I don't want to put anybody
in
trouble.
And I think even how I'm thinking this through is that I think it would be like an interview process. Like, I don't think I would just pick people. I think I would have a gut feeling about, okay, maybe this group of people. Then I think logically I'd want to put together a group of people who have different strengths and different weaknesses so that we'd be able to survive. So, you know, I'd want someone who is, you know, maybe really strong in science because they know what the heck is going on, and somebody who's really great at communicating, right? Like, maybe they have a background in psychology or psychiatry, or like, so that they'd be able to have us communicate. So that's kind of where my brain is going. I'd have to pick people in my inner circle that obviously I trust with my life, but also that have all these different strengths, and we can balance each other's weaknesses so that we'd be able to survive.
Yeah. So it's survival, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking, if I have to get in a rocket and I actually have to survive, who are the best candidates so that not only I can survive, but maybe we can colonize, if you will, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but we should be doing that now.
Mm-hmm. We should do that. Yeah.
We should be doing that every day. Who do we want influencing us, helping us get to our next level? Because I believe personally that life has stages, and the stage you're going in now, right now, is going to be different than the one you'll be in 10 years from now.
Oh, I think like 3 years from now, really.
but even 20 years from now. So this is where we actually, at some point in our lives, we have to say, who do I want? Who do I desire? Okay, so maybe we do have loved ones, right? Maybe we build a bigger rocket and we can take a few loved ones. But who are the people that are going to help me in my journey, right? But it can't be a one way. I have to help them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That gives you a different perspective, doesn't it?
Totally. I think that's the only way to really be able to do life, right? And these different stages is surrounding yourself with those people who are going to be able to see your weaknesses, call you out for it, right? But also be there to help you through those weaknesses. So maybe they aren't as weak as you think in the end. You become a little bit stronger. And then also, like exactly like you said, you can kind of give that in return to those people in your inner circle.
This is the first time I've ever brought this up, and the reason I did it is because I can see that you have a bright future ahead of you,
Well,
right?
thank you.
So, because of what you're doing, because you're going into the holistic health and as a wellness educator, which I 1000% support, because if we think future, if we think tomorrow, what do we want it to look like? This is why I brought this subject up of if we have to take someone on a rocket, right, and go to the next level or go to the next station in life, right, if you will. So that's why I brought that up. And I knew you would have a good answer because you thought of, I need somebody who understands psychology, somebody who understands the sciences so we can survive, somebody who's strong, right? And when we think about our future, that's exactly the kind of people we want. So as a young lady, you played all these different sports. You went back to coaching the same team you were on. That had to be a moment in time where you like maybe you didn't realize it, and then one day you're like, holy cow, wait a minute. It hit you. Do you remember that time?
Yeah, and I think it's so interesting because it just kind of happened, right? It was one of those things that in the moment I was just excited for that opportunity to go and give back, and it wasn't until later on that I realized that wow, that was really the start of my career as a coach. Little did I know that that's what I would end up doing for the rest of my career. But yeah, that was the start of really like developing coaching skills.
What, how young were you when you realized that this is, and you don't have to say age, but like in your 20s, your 30s, maybe you're still in your 20s. It looks like you're in your 20s. So, but was it, and you said it kind of just happened, but I don't think things just happen. I think there was a calling, right? Whether it was through someone else seeking you out or the actions that you took to make it happen. So, how did it happen?
Yeah, so my coaches who used to coach me were all teachers. So they were kind of retiring and passing the torch to other teachers. And they kind of like slipped my name and another person that I grew up playing basketball with. And we grew up in that area, and my parents still lived in that area where this school was. So when I was in high school, they asked me to come back and coach like the grade 8, grade 9. So that kind of formative years before you're really entering high school. So I did that in my grade 11 and 12 years, kind of
Nice.
as like a, going into it thinking like, oh, this will be great kind of experience, community service. I love basketball. Like I love teaching and, sharing with other people. And I really, really enjoyed it. But at the time, I don't think I thought of it as like, oh, this is my calling or like, I'm gonna coach forever. But in high school, I continued to play basketball and I actually got injured. I injured my knee pretty badly. And I had to take an entire year off. I had to go through the rehab process. I had to like completely change my identity of who I was as an athlete and really kind of at a young age figure out who I was outside of sports, which was really difficult. I don't think I figured it out. It was really difficult. But in that process, I learned a lot about that there's this whole career in rehabilitation in sports medicine, and you didn't have to necessarily be a doctor or a nurse,
Right.
right? You,
Exactly.
yeah, you
Right. Yeah.
could. You could also be in the rehabilitation side and learn about sports medicine or learn about how to move your body, how to heal your body. And that's what I ended up going into university for and becoming an athletic therapist, which is very similar to a physical therapist in the US, or a physiotherapist. They all have slightly different scopes of practice, but for the listener, that's the the easiest to think about. So that's what I ended up going to do in university. And I did feel really called to do that. I didn't want people to have the bad experiences that I had in high school. I wanted to make, that recovery process even smoother for them. And it wasn't until graduating from that and starting to work with clients that I realized, oh my gosh, here I am coaching again. Like I thought, oh, okay, I'll be working with these clients, these patients, I'll be teaching them. And I didn't realize that I would actually have to be coaching them through that rehab process as well.
Wow, very cool the fact that in high school you were coaching, right? It's pretty interesting. I also when I was in high school, I used to go to a different high school and I used to coach gymnastics. And in my own high school, I used to go in early and coach people on how to swim. I used to teach them how to swim in my own high school. So pretty interesting that, you find something that you're passionate about and you follow up with it, and other people see that in you. And the fact that, yeah, you got hurt, but you're still able to understand coaching where it took you in a different avenue, right? A different, I guess you're going into the mental aspects of it, because with rehab, there is that mental aspects. We have to get over that point of the injury and what happens. Can we fully recover, or what alternatives do we have, right?
Yeah, and our motto and my motto when I was in that role was always, we want to build you back stronger than you were before you got injured. And obviously, I worked with a lot of athletes as well. So I worked with the university football team for 4.5 years and our provincial football team. And so I worked with a lot of people who had that drive, and they were kind of going through a similar thing that I went through years ago, which was, my identity is being questioned. Who am
Right.
I without my sport, without my talent? And can I come back stronger? But at the same time, I worked with a lot of the general public who we know already struggles to be active, struggles to just have, activities of daily living without pain or without limitation. And that was a whole different challenge when it comes to coaching people on mindset and the mental side of recovery, because these are people who might not have that inherent drive and dedication, or even just awareness of their body and how it's supposed to feel and how it's supposed to move. So being able to coach someone with confidence and have them have that confidence when they leave you after the injury that, you know what, like I do feel better than I was before, even if I'm, 50 and have never really been active my entire life.
I love I guess the divide that we have to realize that there truly is between a person who's had a sedentary lifestyle and an athlete, because each one of them has their own idea of pain, right? As an athlete my whole life, I accept pain. If I, and usually I'll say to people, and they kind of look at me a little weird, because if they're like, "Oh, this hurts," I'm like, "Oh, you should be so lucky." They're like, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "You're alive. You get to feel the pain. If you were dead, you wouldn't feel that, would you?" They're like, "Oh, you're crazy." Like, yeah,
That's a sign
maybe.
of a true athlete for sure.
Yeah, maybe. But listen, you're so fortunate that you get to experience something, because some people don't get to experience certain things in life. And yes, pain means that you're alive, and maybe your body's telling you, "Hey, take care of this situation, right? Because a lot of people, especially athletes, they play injured and they hurt themselves even more because they think that, hey, I can get through it. I'm just going to fight through it. And meanwhile, they don't realize that they may be hurting their ligaments. They may be hurting certain aspects and they're getting more hurt and more hurt. And then all of a sudden, it becomes such a bad injury that what they love, they can't do anymore, which is a shame. Mm-hmm. Right? So listening to our bodies, and you know this better than everybody, is key, isn't it?
Definitely. And I think there's a difference between pain and feeling uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think any personal trainer or any, you know, anyone who's in a coaching role probably understands that as well. And I hoping that they're passing that on, especially when we're young or somebody who maybe is more sedentary and hasn't been able to push their body limits to figure out what that line is. Mm-hmm. So like you talked about, like that pain, that suffering, you know, that's really that uncomfortableness, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, your body is changing and you know that when the workout ends, that is going to stop and you know you're going to be able to recover. I mean, a couple days later, it might show up right in your legs, but or whatever muscle group you're working. But in general, that's that uncomfortable feeling that brings on change versus pain is actually that place where we should listen to our body and stop and reassess. Mm-hmm. But it can be really blurry, like you said, for athletes who are young, who, you know, feel like they have to ride the line. Maybe they're, you know, trying to make sure that they're the, you know, first line player still, right? And they're not going to get pulled, or there's all these different mm-hmm. reasons that they might ride that line. But I think, you know, as you get older as an athlete or as anyone, a weekend warrior, really paying attention to that line of, okay, what is that actual pain? Because that is in that territory of injury versus, okay, is this just really uncomfortable because I'm pushing myself? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I was reading your bio earlier, and one of the things that really resonated with me is you talk about habits, right? And, you know, habit building and the importance, I believe, in habits, because as an athlete, without the habits, you wouldn't be able to perform, right? And a lot of people, you don't have to be an athlete to have good habits, because most people, what do they have?
Yeah, bad habits. or we could change the terminology, right? They're not necessarily bad, but they're unproductive habits. Mm. They're not helping us get to where we want to be, right? They're habits that are keeping us in our same place.
Yeah, or unhealthy. Yeah. Unhealthy habits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I one of the things that, you know, really fires me up is when we talk about habits and how we can get someone to change their habits. You know, I had a client of mine who wanted to give up smoking and she could not do it no matter what. And I said, okay, so what triggers you? So we go into the trigger part, right? What is it about you smoking? Well, you know, if I see somebody light up, okay, so it's visual. And then if I smell it, so it's now you got the sense of smell. I said, and do you feel like you have to hold something? Yes, I have to hold something. I'm like, okay. So we have those triggers that, you know, are working in the favor of smoking. I said, what if we added another habit to your cigarettes? She goes, you want to add another habit? I said, yeah. I said, I want you to take a scissor and cut a quarter of the cigarette off. Mm. She goes, oh, so I only smoke 3/4 of the cigarette. I said, yes. I said, but make it a habit. Don't do it just for one day. Do it every time with your pack of cigarettes. Have a little, you know, like one of those little baby scissors. Just put it with your pack. And every time you take out a cigarette, cut a quarter. And she goes, oh, I like that idea. I said, okay. But here's the thing. It won't work. She goes, why wouldn't it work? You just told me how. I said, unless you're committed to doing it. Once you commit, then you'll do it. And so slowly, she didn't do it right away, but eventually I kept saying to her, "How's that going?" But when we can accept it in our mind, then that habit can change. So I added a habit to her. And eventually when she got on it, and I said, "Okay, how's the habit?" I think we were like on day 48. And then I said to her, "Okay, can we change the habit?" She goes, "Which habit?" So she thought I was going to tell her to stop smoking. I said, "No, cut a little bit more off the cigarette." And she goes, "I can cut a little bit more." I said, "Okay." I didn't tell her how much. I just said, "Cut a little bit more." So, eventually it took her almost 7 months before she goes, "I'm not even smoking every day." I said, "Yeah, but we want to continue it until you actually are not smoking at all." Right? So we're at that stage now where she's not smoking every day, but she went from smoking a full pack every day. Right? Think about 7 packs a week, 365 packs a year. What are you doing to yourself? Right? When she's no longer doing that. So for me, habits, my God. I could talk all day on habits. So
Yeah.
you love building habits. You love helping people with that. Tell me about that.
So what I do nowadays is I've now, had my background in athletic therapy. I went into personal training. From there, I went into nutrition. And this really became that holistic view of helping people.
Nice.
And so now, when it comes to habit changes, I think I take that exact same approach. And it's BJ Fogg's Tiny Habits or James Clear's Atomic Habits, two fantastic books for anyone in any industry, but particularly if you're a coach, those should be Bibles for you. They should be dog-eared, highlighted. You should be, handing out copies to your clients because they have written amazing books on habits. And when you get to the core of habit change, it's exactly what you explained. It's not going cold turkey. It's not 21 days to make a habit. And it's not trying to do everything all at once. So when we're trying to change, especially our health habits, they are so ingrained in our lifestyle. They're so ingrained in our circle of influence. They're so ingrained in years of behaviors and patterns that we're not going to be able to go cold turkey and we're not going to change the world in 21 days. So I love to go on habits the same way that you took the approach of let's start really small. Like what seems actually realistic and attainable. So for example, a lot of my clients are like, I want to start working out again. I want to be able to, get to the gym. Okay, how many days a week do you want to get to the gym? Five or six. Okay, how long has it been since you've been active? Well, other than walking and like a workout here and there a couple years ago. Okay, so, it's going to take a lot of dedication and motivation for you to all of a sudden wake up and want to go to the gym 5 days a week. I mean, I have a habit of going to the gym, and there's some weeks that I don't make it 5 days a week because of life or circumstance or lack of motivation. So why don't we make it more realistic? Is there 2 days that you can fit it into your calendar? Is there a friend that you can go with that will keep you motivated to go? Is there classes that you can sign up for and the coach or the instructor knows that you're going to be there, right? Like again, building all these little things around a tiny, small habit to start with, and then you can build from there. So it's exactly what you did with the cigarettes, except now we're talking about building healthier habits. So you can do the same thing, right? You can dial back an unhealthy habit. Like if you have ice cream every night for dinner, like after dinner, can we dial that back to half the week and then a couple times per week? Or can we change the portion size of that, right? And kind of dialing back those bad habits. And when it comes to putting in good habits or replacing with good habits, starting small and then building up as your confidence grows.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Like I said, you and I think you and I can talk about habits
Forever.
forever. Because I believe that our habits can definitely have a huge effect on the way we do things every day. And being just aware of what we do can become a habit, right? So one of my habits is realizing what I'm doing. I made that a habit so that I'm always paying attention to what I'm doing. This way, I'm in control, not my habit. So talk to me about why, and I want to talk to you about your show, right? Mm. What motivated you to start your show? And then tell us a little bit about your show and what's the name of it, and how can my listeners come and start listening to your show as well?
Yeah. So the podcast that I am working on now is called Modern Rising. Mm. And it has come from years of working with women in all different aspects, whether that be their coworkers of mine, right, and fellow coaches, through business coaching and just listening to people's challenges and struggles that they had building their own wellness businesses. And it's been from thousands and thousands of clients that I've worked with over the years who happen to be majority female and women. And the one thing that I think I found was lacking was this space where we can truly tell our full story, the good, the bad, the ugly, and then also how we evolved and got out of that time in our life. Mm. And so this could be at something as simple as like a traumatic birth experience or an illness or losing a loved one. Or it could be something like coming from, you know, sitting on the couch to running your first half marathon. Any story that you have that was profound and changed your life, that's the stories that we're starting to tell on Modern Rising and really getting into like the nitty gritty of the mind, the body. What really was that, you know, rock bottom for you in that moment? And then how did you start to change and evolve? What tools did you use? Because I think when women are sharing their stories really, truly, and authentically, someone out there is going to listen and find hope. Maybe they're going through the same thing. Maybe they know someone going through the same thing, or maybe they just resonate with the courage and conviction to change their life. And so that's the main kind of focus of Modern Rising. And then in amongst those episodes, I'm going to be talking a lot about what I've learned as a holistic health educator. So holistic nutrition and movement, functional movement, and also the wellness side. So stress resilience and stress management as well.
I love it. I love it. So how often is, by the way, we have it up there, anchor.fm/modern-rising, right?
Awesome.
Yeah. So is there any other links that anybody can come and find you?
Yeah, just the website is themodernrising.com.
Cool.
So you can go there. And the show has just started. We've like recorded all these amazing episodes. So this is a perfect time to go and subscribe, because weekly there's going to be new episodes rolling out now. So it's a great time to go and listen. And it's available on all your favorite podcast platforms. Yeah, you can go to the website, you can go to that link there and listen, or on Instagram at The Modern Rising.
That's it right there, right? Themodernrising.com?
Yep, exactly.
Good. You know, I'm trying to promote you and make sure that people
I appreciate
you.
It. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. this is why we do this, right? We try to help one another. For me, it's always, you know, like I told you, I try to level up every day through the conversations that I have with amazing people like yourself, where you are making a difference. So who would you say in the Modern Rising world would be your ideal guest?
Mm. Someone who is willing to authentically share their story for the sake of sharing what they've been through.
Mm.
I'm really trying to bring on particularly women who have a story to share. Maybe they ended up, you know, creating a business out of what they learned or teaching what they learned. But the point of the show is to share your authentic story and really get vulnerable versus pitching services or pitching, right? So that is really the tune that we want to go with on this show, which is a little bit different than what I've done in the past on previous podcasts that I've had. So anyone who's really feels like they've been through a rock bottom and been able to grow and evolve and come out the other side, you're a perfect guest. So if you have a story that you want to share, something that you think other people resonate with, if you have resources to share that you learned along the way, then you're a perfect guest. So I know that's very vague and very broad, but really we're trying to get as many different colors and flavors and tastes of stories so that we can really highlight these female voices for women who have been through something and made it out the other side.
Yeah, I consider them Phoenix rising, right?
That's exactly, you nailed it. That's exactly the concept, right? It's like that Phoenix rising from the ashes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I've been fortunate to know so many women like that who truly hit rock bottom, whether it was through abuse, homelessness, you know, being adopted, all these different things, and the triumphs that they've had in their lives. And it's just amazing when you can hear what someone would normally just sink in a corner and just cry themselves to sleep and just never want to wake up, but they didn't. They truly, you know, came out on top. And sometimes the beauty is if they took no prisoners. I mean, literally took no prisoners, because they realized that, you know, holding on to the negativity is holding on to a prisoner. And if you're trying to advance to another level, a different space, you can't take them with you. So hold no prisoners, right? March forward and be amazing. And my gosh, it sounds like an amazing show. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly the interviews that you'll hear upcoming, a lot of women have kind of echoed that of the, you have to put your own oxygen mask on before helping others. And sometimes you can't put the other person's oxygen mask on for them if they're, you know, flailing and they don't want it, right? So sometimes we have to march forward in order for us to evolve. Doesn't mean that we can't look back and, you know, support and be loving and share light and wisdom, but sometimes we have to make those choices just to move forward for our own evolution. And that's really been a strong theme, at least for this season's episode so far.
Yeah, love it, love it. You know, I was a junior lifeguard in high school, and the only reason I was junior is because I was under 18. So, but one of the lessons that we needed to know in order to save somebody's life is that we may have to knock them out because they're flailing, like you said.
And they're panicking.
And they're going to pull you down and they're going to drown you. And so we, in order to save them, we would have to knock them out and then take them to shore and then revive them. But when we think about all the people in the world, and you said it, sometimes it's not about putting the oxygen mask on someone else because they're going to bring you down, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe it's okay if they pass out a little bit, then you revive them afterwards.
Totally.
So you also help people understand, because you have a toolbox with stress, right? So what is it that you carry in that toolbox of yours? And how heavy is that toolbox?
Oh, man, that toolbox it's got is wheels, always, right? Yeah. It, I mean, I think I have multiple at this point, but I think talking about stress is something that I'm really passionate about because, well, A, it's something that affects all of us in today's society. It's something that's not going to go anywhere. We're always going to deal with it. And it's not always a bad thing, right? To bring it back to the very beginning of the show, when we talked about athletes and pushing yourself, and that's a type of stress that makes you stronger. So I think stress kind of gets a bad rap sometimes when we feel like we're always stuck in this stress cycle. Like we cannot break out of it, right? We have periods that let up and then we're like right back in it. And our body is sending us cues and signals that we're stressed, but we might be misreading them or ignoring them, or we just don't really know what else to do about them. And when you Google like how to be less stressed or stress management, we often get things like eat healthy, move more, sleep, and get rid of the stressors. But that four, step blog post isn't really realistic for most people when they're in fight or flight or freeze. So that's why I'm so passionate about talking about it, because every single client that I've worked with over the years has gone through a period of stress. The women that I'm talking to on the podcast have gone through tremendous stressful periods in their life, right? So in this toolbox, I wouldn't say it's like, oh, you have to have this and that. I think it's more about starting to explore holistically how you can build a toolbox so that when you are stressed, you have the tools you need, versus what we do is often the other way around, is we get so stressed, we get burnt out, we get stuck in this like stress cycle, and then we start to look for the tools. It's really hard to figure out what you need when your body's in that place of burnout. Does that make sense?
Oh, tons of sense, tons of sense. You know, it's also when we think about our muscles when they get stressed and you push upon them, that's when we get the injuries, right? So we have to listen to the stress. A stress can be an indicator of, hey, take care of this. Don't let it continue because it does build up, right? And any stressful situation will explode if we don't handle it, right? Or implode, depends on the situation, right? Whether it's internal stress or external stress, we do have to be able to understand it. But I think the most important thing sometimes is to ask for help, right?
Yeah, asking for support is a big one. And again, like especially for women where traditionally, and I mean studies even still show this, that they are taking on so many different roles at once. And especially if they are females who are working full-time and full-time mom and full-time, caregiver for loved ones and running a household. And we wear all of these titles all the time. And it's kind of been ingrained in us that that's just the way it is, that we don't really shouldn't ask for help really. And I think we need to start changing that conversation for sure, is that, when we're feeling that stress, when we're feeling our mental health start to shift, that's when it's time to reach out and get support. But a lot of times you don't even really know what support you need or who to go to for support, because they might be just as stressed out, or it might be someone who just doesn't understand, right? And they might want to help, but they don't know how to help. So I think asking for help is a big thing, being ready to ask for support, but also kind of spending some time thinking about what kind of support do I need in this moment as well.
And who can I talk to, right? Sometimes a family member may be the right person or the wrong person, right? You know, one of the things I teach kids, and the other day I was teaching them a lesson, and I had a magic word for them. And I said, you guys, you can't do it alone. You have to ask for help. But I said, there's a magic word. And they're like, what's the magic word? I said, please. I said, you have people genuinely help you when you ask nicely. But when you demand the help, because you're young, you may get it, but they may not do it kindly. I said, but you want people to help you because they want to help you. They're like, oh, I get it now. So if I say please, or can I, or will you help me in a nice way, they'll help me more. I said, yes. But you know, it's interesting when we can talk that way to a child, but an adult really needs to hear the same conversation, right?
Yeah, and I think honestly, for a lot of the people that I work with, we need to talk that way to ourselves first, because we're so negative on ourselves when we're in these situations where we probably need support and we need help, or we're feeling overwhelmed or stressed out. And our negative self-talk is like, we're not good enough. Like, what's wrong with me? Why do I still feel this way? Why haven't I figured out a solution yet? Like, and we start to compare to other people of, oh, well, so-and-so is able to do X, Y, and Z. Why can't I keep up with them? And it becomes this loop, so that maybe if we do reach out for help, as you said, it's not really coming out in the nice way. It might be like barking orders at our partner, for example. Right. But I think that's totally a great point to think about, is going back to what kind of help do you need, and then being able to communicate that and have a conversation around that, where you're nicely asking for help, but it's also kind of like you're asking for a very specific thing as well.
Definitely.
I think that's really important.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So what are you doing currently besides the coaching? You created an online business. So you're definitely an entrepreneur. Why did you decide that you needed to create this online business as well?
I think because I just felt called to continue sharing what I've learned with other people.
Nice.
So I think, like most coaches, even though we know that there's such a role for coaches, especially in the holistic health and wellness world now, there's not a lot of opportunity to do that in a traditional 9-to-5 corporate kind of business role, unless maybe you're working for like a gym franchise or like a health food store. So I think a lot of coaches naturally become entrepreneurs because they want to coach, they want to help people. They also want to do things their way, right? They've learned maybe some things, and they want to be able to do things in a way that makes sense for them as a coach. So I think just naturally a lot of coaches are entrepreneurs.
Yeah, they are. Well, you have to be nowadays, right? Especially, you know, one of the things that we take for granted, because it seems like it's been here forever, but it really hasn't. And that's the internet, right?
Yeah.
But it, when I think about it, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I go, wait a minute, we didn't have this. It's relatively new.
Yeah.
But we've, I guess, habitually become accustomed to it, that it's so ingrained already that it's like so easy to do these things. But we have to really give credit to those people who did the crazy things. I remember in high school, everybody was like, I just came out of computer class, and they had these cards with punch cards with them, the little things. I'm like, what is that? And they're like, oh, that's my computer program. I'm like, what? I had no idea. You know, then you have floppy disks and you have all these. So technology is building. But we sometimes take it for granted. So it's creating this communication where we can actually, I love the technology now that you and I can see each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're in Canada, I'm in the US, and it feels like we're sitting in the living room together, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think especially after the pandemic, that's when they, or during the pandemic, right, is when for entrepreneurs and this online world really opened up for us as well. Because now all of a sudden, even traditional business models that weren't online were now online. And people who had no idea what this video conferencing thing is, right? Like, I don't know when Skype started, but Skype's been around for a very long time, and then Zoom as well. But now all of a sudden, like, my grandparents know what Zoom is and how to use it, right? So I think really, like, one of the best things to come out of the horribleness of the last few years is that now for coaches, for entrepreneurs, for people who want to run a business online, is that the world really has caught up. Like, the consumer and the client has caught up with that as well.
Yeah, it is a beautiful thing. You know, when we think business, and I love business so much, but Skype lost their connectivity, if you will. They did not get on the, consumer aspect of what was needed. It was more like one in a few, like I remember before Zoom came out, I've done Skype calls with it, and it was like all broken up and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, what? I can't hear you. I can't do, but then Zoom really kicked it up a notch. And then right now, you and I, and I was doing my podcast when I started, I was doing it on Zoom and then went to StreamYard. And there's other platforms as well who are now chasing StreamYard. There's other platforms who are chasing Zoom. But each one, like Blockbuster, is gone, right? And it was understanding business. It's really truly understanding our clients, right? And so when you do your online business, and I'm assuming you're doing, and I don't like to assume sometimes, right? Because we know that old saying. But are you doing where it's a virtual world as well, where you're using the technology, if you will, to help your business grow?
Yeah, it's all online now. At one point, I was in person back in 2018, 2019. I did a lot of in person still, and then I did some in person, some online. And now, in the world we live in, everything is virtual. And I find even people who live in the same city as me prefer to do virtual now because everyone is just so used to it, right? So I think taking advantage of things like Zoom or Voxer messaging, where you can message with your clients back and forth without them really having your personal number, is also great. There's online platforms I've used in the past. So things like Teachable or Thinkific for online content. And yeah, today's technology, there's usually a solution for what you need as an entrepreneur. It might not have everything that you need, but it's going to be pretty darn close and usually a quite affordable price for you and your clients to interact online. So yeah, everything I do right now is online.
Love it, love it. Well, I'm loving the technology so much, but a lot of times we have to go buy this program, buy that program, this program, this program. As coach, we all have to get all these 20 different programs to be able to help our clients. And the more I look at it, the more I go, there's got to be a better way. And guess who's building that better way? This guy
Who?
right here.
Amazing.
I have a team right now of programmers, and we're working on putting all these different aspects into one.
Into one platform. That's
So you don't
amazing.
have to pay hundreds of dollars. You just pay one, simple
Yeah.
price, and you don't have to go to 20 different things, right? So that's what we're working on right now.
It's
But
definitely
a lot of
needed.
fun. It's definitely challenging. It's very. Not only is it going to be comprehensive, but the network involved in it, just doing the wireframing,
The
meaning,
technology side, right? Yeah, I can
it's
only
just crazy. Oh
imagine.
yeah, right. So thank God I've teamed up with some brilliant people, because I wouldn't be able to do it. But I have the ideas in my head, and I just have to let them know what it is, and they're like, "I like that. I like this. I like that." And
Yeah.
so that's how we're building things.
Awesome.
The other thing, I definitely want to invite you, and I know we're wrapping it up. I have an event coming up in New York, and it's going to be July 13th through the 16th. And I want everybody to just go ahead and block your calendars. Block your calendar, because it's going to be an event for not only coaches, I have authors, I have people coming from all over the world, from Australia, from South Africa, Argentina, Singapore, obviously New York. I have a bunch of coaches out here. But we're all coming together as a business venture to not only have all these amazing coaches, but to have all these different people with technology and business who will come and share their knowledge. And it's a great way to rub elbows with amazing people. But as a coach myself, I also have coaches. So, hey, maybe I'll pick up a new coach, right? Or I'll pick somebody's brain, and maybe it's time for me to level up and go to that next level. And the only way I can do that is through another coach, a coach who, if you want to really, why is Starbucks so popular? Why is Mercedes popular? Why are now high-end cars popular? Because you want that higher level. You want something more, right? Can you make coffee at home? Of course you can. Can it save you money? Absolutely. But why is there Starbucks almost in every corner in New York City? Because people want that luxury, right? So could you have the luxury of talking to someone who's amazing, who's done it? Listen, I don't want to talk to somebody who can just tell me how to shoot a basketball. I want to talk to somebody who's not only shot a basketball, but maybe had some great coaching or is a coach. Now, do I want to maybe shoot hoops with LeBron or Michael Jordan or someone like that? Or do I just want to shoot baskets with my neighbor? It all depends because my neighbor could be great.
Yeah.
But what's the opportunity? Would I want to pay extra just to shoot hoops with Michael Jordan? I would. Wouldn't you?
Totally. Yeah.
So that's why we're doing this event in New York to bring amazing people to come and just, do the things that we want to do because they've already done it. So I'd love to have you there. I think that every coach listening and everybody, we're calling it Heroes Rising Apex. So we're taking every hero to the top. And then what winds up happening is a lot of people don't realize they're heroes, but I call them heroes in waiting because there's an opportunity for you to shine, to throw on that cape. So I'd love to have you there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the invite.
I'll send you some more information for sure. And I have a couple of friends from Canada who are coming too, so maybe you guys can all just get a jet together. It'll be fun, right? What would you say is before we head off, what is some advice that you can give somebody who is interested in either hiring a coach or becoming a coach?
If you're interested in hiring a coach, I would say really, really get clear on what you want to be willing to do and commit to. Because coaches have different styles and they could be getting you the same results, but the journey to get there is really what you're signing up for. People think that they're signing up for the results, but really what you're signing up for is the journey to get there. So I would say if you're looking to hire a coach, just, on the internet in today's day, you can kind of like stalk the coach a little bit. You can see what their personality is. You can listen to a podcast. You can watch a video. You can, see what their clients are saying about them and see if that's the kind of journey that you want to go on. And for anyone who's wanting to become a coach, the best advice I can give you is you don't have to know everything to get started.
Not at all.
You are going to evolve. You're going to change your mind. You're going to change as you learn from clients. And so, just get started and you're going to evolve along the way.
And if you want a great coach, definitely reach out to my good friend. When we think about a coach who has done it, Lexi has done it. She knows what it takes. But you have to find out, right? I would go to modernrising.com, look her up, stalk her a little bit,
Come hang out
find
on
out who she is,
Instagram.
find out who she is. And then reach out to her. And then, of course, I know that if she is willing to help you, she will. If she can't, she'll refer you to somebody else because that's what a good coach does, right, Lexi? Excellent.
100%. And actually, that's what I'm building on the Modern Rising, as well as these interviews come out and as people share these tools, is exactly that, a network of other people who are going to be able to help you. So
beautiful.
Definitely, definitely.
Love it. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. And I'm so glad we're connected.
Yes. Thank you so much. This was great.
All right. Thank you. Have an amazing and exceptional day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.